Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wagner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
And this week we're joined by Michael Washam.
Michael Washam.
And got a great show. We're going to talk through some news, as always. We've got Michael here to show us some really awesome capabilities with the new Windows Azure Platform PowerShell Commandlets 2.0.
Right. Wow.
And then we'll wrap up, as always, with the tip of the week.
This is our 10th take of that intro.
Yes.
Because every other time Wade said the
Actually,
thing
the,
wrong.
That was the first.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, that was the first time we did it.
All right, so let's start with the news. So let's pull up our first news item. I think we may have mentioned it, but we hadn't actually launched it. We didn't launch it till Friday, but there is a new version of the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit out there. A lot of updates, specifically for 1.5 and Visual Studio 2010 updates for 1.5 SDK. We also have a new HOL in there for service bus messaging, so it's a great lab to go through if you want to get used to queues, topics, subscriptions. And then we've made some updates to the Windows Azure Data Market HOL. Just given the marketplace, and there was updates when the marketplace applications came out, we needed to refactor and update that lab. So some good updates. And we're going to come back to the training kit content when we come to the tip of the week. So we've got something pretty cool to show you. So,
wow.
Little teaser.
Foreshadowed. We don't do a lot of foreshadowing
in
this
We should do more.
Show. Okay.
It's very good, though. Makes it more fascinating.
Yep. Yeah, we want to keep you entertained and keep you here to the end. So, all right, moving on. NuGet.
Yeah.
Windows Azure.
NuGet pushing to Windows Azure.
This is kind of an interesting idea.
It's
so
neat.
Do you want to talk through it?
Sure. It's so yeah. I mean, because obviously we plan in advance who's going to talk about what. But this is a blog post by one of our most famous of MVPs.
Yep.
I call him Martin, and then everyone else calls him Martin.
Mm.
And so I feel like I'm mispronouncing his name all the time.
You probably are.
But I know
we're going to see him next week, right?
So
we're going to see him next week.
I know that's long.
We should ask him how to pronounce it.
Okay, we'll ask him next week. So anyway, that's right. We should have had some news thing about how next week we're going to be in Europe. That's okay. We won't tell you. Martin has a nice blog post about using NuGet push as a deployment mechanism. So
yes.
We've talked about things like web deploy or like syncing from blobs, mm-hmm. or we talked about a bunch of different ways that you can kind of sideload your code into Windows Azure. This is another one, which is to actually use NuGet, push new NuGet packages, and just constantly be doing sort of a NuGet update to update that package that's actually running already in Windows Azure. So a good way to sort of quickly get code onto the box.
It's actually similar to stuff I think you've built out in the Smarks role where you've used Git.
It was like Git push. Yeah, it's a similar kind of concept, but using NuGet instead. And Martin's been doing a bunch of things with NuGet, which are very cool. He has his own NuGet thing, My NuGet? I think he has his own NuGet server that he does some stuff with.
Oh, cool.
It's very, very cool. So
Excellent.
Check out his blog.
Yeah.
Read his other posts, too. He's great.
Okay.
All right.
This guy.
It's you again.
Who is this? So, yeah, this is a blog post I put out last week. Not early enough that we could have actually talked about it in last week's show. But last week we were talking about some of the new capabilities in Windows Azure Storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I have updated. I have a NuGet package and a GitHub
repo
that has a bunch of extensions for storage to do things like blob leases and checking for existence of things and whatever. And one of the things I did is I added in support for the new queue methods and the new doing upsert with tables. And so just an update to that. So a quick blog post that kind of showed some of the new functionality, but it's just a NuGet package, so you can just install that and get that. And someday when the storage client library that we actually ship
includes this,
then I'll just sort of rip those things back out of my project.
Yep. Excellent.
One more.
This guy again?
Jeez.
This actually kind of ties into what we're going to foreshadow again.
Another foreshadow.
There's more foreshadow. Well, because Michael said it made it more fascinating.
It does. I agree.
So we're going to do some more foreshadowing because I made some small updates to something I have called WAS command, which is a Ruby command line tool for using the service management API in Windows Azure. And that's when we talk about the PowerShell tools. One of the things the PowerShell commandlets do is talk to the service management API for Windows Azure to do things like deployment and whatever. So this is basically my competition for the work that Michael has been doing in PowerShell, and his wins because it has a lot more functionality. But this is cool because you can use it on other platforms and stuff. So you can use this to sort of push from your Ubuntu server. How does your PowerShell commandlet work there?
Good question.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So there you have it.
Cool.
I win.
Great. Congratulations. All right, so the next couple of items we wanted to walk through were just some known issues with the 1.5 SDK. It's worth pointing out that there is a page up on MSDN that you can go to, and it lists out in length all of the known issues. A couple here. One is, which order do we have?
This
so here we've
port.
Got the port unavailable
right.
issue. So
this is one that may affect VM
yes.
workstation.
Yep,
people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you've got VM workstation running, there's going to be a conflict in the port address there.
Okay.
So that's take a look at that if you're having that problem. This next one I think is one that we've seen a little bit more chatter on recently.
This is a blast from the past.
It is a blast from the past.
This is the. It's
this
been a long time since we had this bug.
Yeah, it
so
was
we
a bug a while ago.
We reintroduce it.
Basically, if your username has a space in it, there's some issues with the emulators running.
Yeah, so it uses this path that's under user, whatever your username is, app data local, whatever. And if it has a space in it, we mess up. And so there's actually very easy workaround. I've actually seen people creating a new user with a different name. You don't need to do that. There is actually an environment variable you can set that will override where that goes.
Yep, CS run.
And then it won't be under your user profile, which means it won't have the space in it, and it'll just work. And so that is a much easier workaround than anything else you might do. So if you have that problem, apply that workaround liberally to the affected areas.
Yep, excellent. So that's the news. So transitioning now to our feature. So we're going to be talking about the PowerShell commandlets. So, Michael, you've been doing a lot of work with these.
Right.
A lot of work.
So
yes.
We've done, like Wade said, a ton of work around the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets. The areas that we've really just kind of made it easier, first off, we've combined the access control commandlets along with the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets, just so if you are deploying an application that has ACS as well, you have only one deployment to be able to manage it.
Because in the earlier versions, I mean, we actually had two separate installers,
right.
And there were some other discrepancies as well, everything from kind of namespacing to how we had things organized. There were some some differences. So.
We've got some feedback on some of the PowerShell commandlet names. Apparently, if you create a new commandlet that manipulates multiple objects, it's not supposed to be plural. So we didn't know that, so we fixed it.
Yeah.
We renamed a few of them just to make them more
PowerShell-esque. There's all these conventions that when you start really digging into it.
That's why I just wrote one in Ruby where no one cares.
Right.
And I got to name things whatever I wanted.
Right. We don't need any design guidelines there. So
yeah.
In addition to just cleaning it up and making it easier to deploy, we've added a lot of new functionality. So I got a blog post out here on my blog, michaelwashington.com. Basically announcing a release, and it gives you a nice comprehensive list of everything that we've added. It doesn't have every commandlet, it just has only the stuff that we've actually changed.
Yeah.
So we've spent a lot of time making it where you can deploy new services, update them, reboot your images, manage your SQL Azure instances.
Yeah, that's a nice one. I mean, there's been some APIs for you to program against for SQL Azure for a while. We just didn't have support in the PowerShell commandlets form.
Exactly.
So that's a nice addition.
So let me show a quick example. This is one where we've tried to do this before, where we've started from blank. We have a package and we want to open it up and just deploy it all out to the cloud. No storage count, no nothing created already. And before we didn't have the capability to do that. So we put together a really long sample. I'm not going to go through all of it, but it'll just give you the idea of what you could actually do with these commandlets. So you can see we have a lot of script here, basically pulling all your configuration information, your subscription ID, et cetera, out of a XML file. And from there, we can actually take all this configuration and using PowerShell alone, create a new storage account, new hosted service, new deployment, and actually upload your package out all 100% automated. So just to go ahead and get that started, I have the deployment script already ready. And it's actually going to take this and deploy it. Oh, sorry, Steve. It's going to deploy this all the way out to the cloud to a staging environment. And in this particular instance, we already have a staging environment set. Let's see if I can find it.
This is also a good reminder of all the functionality that is now in all these management APIs. Like, not everyone knows about all the different kinds of APIs there are, like for SQL Azure, for instance. Not everyone actually knows that there is an API for that. And not everyone knows all the things that we've added. Like, it wasn't actually possible to create a storage account through the API until,
last year. It's very recent.
Fairly recent, mm-hmm. It's months ago, but it's not that many months ago.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you can do this also reminds people of all the different capabilities. Like, yes, you can actually, it's a good sort of refresher on what's available.
Right. Well, and one of the reasons that we're so keen on getting this is for everything from like the platform training kit and the content that's created, we want to try to script out as much of this stuff as possible, for, you know, not just so that when people are getting used to and trying out stuff for the first time and making it easier, but you think about different events that we have, like at Tech Ed or Build, when we've got hands-on labs, we try to script out and automate as much as possible, and it's super useful to have these things. It's, you know, I mean, if you're setting stuff up for hundreds or thousands of accounts, not having the ability to automate all this can cause some challenges.
It's in color. I'm impressed by that.
That's very powerful.
Because I feel like I could have written a lot of what this was already, and that part I have no idea how to do. That's the part that has mystified me.
Right. So this one will actually deploy the package out to the service, and since we already have a service running, it's this mortgage rate service one, what it'll actually do is flip it out to staging, and it'll actually do the VIP swap for us as well.
Nice.
And you can download the entire script and poke through the code and figure out how to do it and put it in your own pieces on your own. It's posted up on my blog as well. One more quick example I want to show is some of the work that we've done with SQL Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real simple script. I already have my certificate, my subscription ID already set. So I'm just going to go ahead and run get SQL Azure server. All it will do is it'll actually go out and pull back all the servers that we have. So you may wonder, why would you care? Why would you want to do that? But it allows you to do some really interesting stuff. So I can pipe this out to for each. And I could say set SQL Azure password. Oops, if I could type. So with this simple script, so we actually just basically went out, changed the password on two of our servers.
That's
just
cool.
With two lines of script. So you can imagine if you have a lot of servers, this could make automating it quite easy.
Yep.
And we can also do some other stuff. We can say, actually it's just new. So if we wanted to configure a new SQL Azure firewall rules, we can say rule name and give it the IP address.
Yeah, this I can see being extremely useful.
Yeah.
This is often the first, you go to a new machine or you give a new developer access or something, and one of the first things you have to do is update the firewall rules to make sure wherever they are is also included.
I always forget, and then I get that error
back,
yellow screen of death, and it says basically that you're blocked.
Yeah.
So not only can you reset your password, you can add SQL firewall rules. We also have a remove, so if you need to change your IP addresses, you can remove the old ones and add the new ones or however you need to do.
It's really neat, and you may be talking about this in a moment, but one thing that was pretty cool is at Build, you gave a talk on monitoring and managing and debugging.
Diagnostics.
You know, diagnostics and Windows Azure. And, you know, I've seen people give this talk before, and there were always challenges because we didn't have, you know, really easy way to go about doing a lot of this stuff. And what was interesting about this talk is using PowerShell and these commandlets made it really, really straightforward to go about collecting and grabbing all this diagnostic
data
back and parsing it. So, you know, definitely recommend people take a look at that session from Build if that's something that's interesting.
Right. Here's just a little snippet of one of the things I demonstrated at Build, and I have the code for this posted up on my blog as well. So this will actually tell you all of your current diagnostic settings that you have deployed right now. So you don't have to go into storage and figure out the correct XML file. You just basically point it at the right hosted service, and it'll actually go pull all the diagnostic data for each role.
That's cool.
And Steve, back to your color.
I
have to like the color.
I almost said something about the color, and then I was like, okay, I can't say that every time you show something.
Right.
But
it is beautiful. I mean, and bold.
It's great.
This color scheme in particular, I think, is just particularly. The like navy blue next to like green.
Dark green.
That's beautiful.
And with the diagnostic stuff, there's a ton of stuff you can do with it. You can manage all your exceptions, et cetera. One of the things that I put together just this morning is a little script that'll actually go out to your roles and actually average out how much your current CPU utilization is. So you could do some really interesting stuff with this. You could actually just run it periodically and track your usage.
Well, yeah, you could have this set up as a scheduled task that can go off and grab some information and even take a look at that and make decisions on different things to do. Because as part of the PowerShell commandlets, you're also hitting the APIs that let you change your configuration settings. So you could scale up or scale out, scale back. do a lot of different things.
You could truly make this an entire autoscale application just with a few lines of PowerShell script.
Very, very cool.
Yep. And some of the other things that we've added a lot of workaround storage containers. So we allow you to download all the data out of your storage containers. And we allow you to manipulate, set your storage analytics settings as well. So mm-hmm. that was a new feature just the past few months.
Yes.
And now you can actually completely automate that as well.
Yeah. It's cool.
That's one of the things I have in the storage, the extensions thing that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. There is also some, because I don't know if we actually talked about it on the show, because we did a show where we talked about storage analytics, and I sort of had some code that I'd written that did some raw XML. I actually do now have an API for that. So if you're looking for that in C Sharp, you can go there. Sorry, I can't help but compete C-sharp. With your,
I mean, come on.
Your PowerShell.
PowerShell is way easier.
Okay, do it in PowerShell instead. It is actually, for that, since that's the sort of thing that you do, like, wants to set it up or whatever, actually, PowerShell does make a lot more sense. All right, you win that round,
see?
Michael.
Copy-paste.
Ba-dum-bum.
Enable the entire thing. And
nice.
Then.
Cool.
It's awesome. One other thing to point out, too, we've had the ACS support for the PowerShell
right.
commandlets for a while. I feel like people don't really get how useful these PowerShell commandlets are. You know, everything from the toolkits that we built for, like, Windows Phone, the same for the toolkits for Windows 8, we're leveraging those same scripts. Mm-hmm. Like, when you create a new project, it goes off and configures everything for NACS for you. So, like, using these PowerShell commandlets to automate the configuration of, you know, adding identity providers, configuring all the rules associated with it, setting up the you know, relying parties, super useful, just automating all of those tasks. You know, these PowerShell commandlets can save a lot of time, so it's worth digging into this.
And now bit. They're all together. It's so much more together. Convenient now that there's just sort of one thing and you
yeah.
get everything, including all the storage. The storage stuff is another one that sort of, we didn't have PowerShell commandlets
yeah,
for
right.
before,
no.
but is the sort of thing where sometimes it's handy to be able to, like, list a container
right.
or, you know, like, it's little stuff like that that's just sort of, man, it would be nice if there's a command line tool. I know that I've personally written a few command line tools just to, like, upload a single file or something, because it's just kind of, it's nice to be able to just do that.
Right.
And
yeah.
so having those now where I think the value of them being bundled, which means you already have it once you've installed this, you have all those. So even if that wasn't why you installed it, it's sort of just there and handy. I think that's really, I hope that means more people will use these
yeah.
things.
And real quick, so there's some other plans. Like, we're going to add some additional
yep.
things. Do you want to talk about that real
sure.
quick?
Sure. So the next big issue that we're probably going to tackle is SQLizer import and export. So not only will we be able to configure your server, set the rules, set your password, we can also actually import and export your databases
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the next big one on our list.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
cool.
The export and import stuff's neat, especially now that you can do an export of your SQL Azure database to storage, Windows Azure storage,
right.
you know,
yeah.
and have that stored in a durable spot. So that'll be neat to see that through the commandlets. So, excellent.
Okay.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you for showing us this.
Oh, no problem.
I think it's that time.
Yes.
That our favorite time.
I'm so excited.
Where Bob, our evil genius producer or editor,
yeah.
can pull together the tip of the week. So, do you have any thoughts, ideas?
I don't know.
What's exciting about PowerShell commandlets?
I'm trying to think of the puns of PowerShell. Is there? Can we have a shell themed? You know, like oysters and clams and whatnot. I don't know.
I can see that.
Well, let's see what Bob comes up with.
Something better
so.
Than we can think of.
It has
anyway.
To be very powerful, so though.
Powerful, yes.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Powerful shells. Yeah, let's
right.
see that.
With that, here's your tip of the week.
Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea. Under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's better. Take it from me. I'm on the shore, they were.
And we're back. All right, so we foreshadowed it earlier.
Yes.
When we were talking about the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit. But I wanted to show you a new tool that we've been building. We've actually been building it for a while, and we'll be releasing it this week. So I wanted to give everyone, like, a first glimpse. Of course, you won't be seeing this till Friday. Still
wanted
worth,
to give
worth
everyone a second
through.
Glimpse.
A second glimpse of everything. So one of the things to point out about the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit for the offline installer is it's quite large. I mean, it's almost 300 megabytes at this point. And downloading that, especially when we do a refresh with each release, it's a lot. And if you start digging into it, there's, you know, 25 to 30 hands-on labs. There's 15 to 20 demos. And there's just a lot of stuff in there. And so starting to serve up this content individually is something that we've been wanting to do for a while. We have the online training courses version, but we wanted something that was that would work for the PC that would also give you the ability to download the content directly. So we've created what's called the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit Web Installer. And you might find it familiar to some other tools. Essentially, it's a very small executable that you can download. And using it, you can pick and choose the content that you want to install on your machine. So when you open it up, you'll see here that we've got a web installer. It's a very nice looking, you know, application. And here we can take a look at all the content. I can take a look at demos that are available, hands-on labs, and presentations. And so by default, it's prompted me to download everything individually. So if you take a look, you see that, you know, if I were to download everything, it's about 300 megabytes worth of content. So you can certainly do that, or you can remove everything and then pick and choose. And so you can go through, take a look. Like, for instance, I can come here to labs and say, yep, I want to get, you know, the advanced web and worker role, building, you know, ASP.NET, you know, applications with Windows Azure, and choose what it is that I want, you know, grab some presentations as well. Once I've selected all the content that I want, I can go ahead and just do a download. And through this process, we do a number of things as well. First, we're going to make sure that you've got all the dependencies and that you're installing everything where you want, and then we'll go to install it. So first, I'll agree to the content license, click Next, can choose where I want to have all this content delivered. I'm just going to put it into my documents under a WAPTK folder. And then next, it's going to check based on the HOLs and the content that I've selected. It has these dependency checker files that it's going to read. And based on what's in them, it'll determine what are the dependencies that I need to successfully run through this content. And here you can see that the dependency really is just the Windows Azure tools that's already been installed. If not, what it'll do is it'll link to the web PI, the web platform installer, so that I can easily just click that link. It'll pop up web PI and install all the dependencies that I need. And then once it's got the dependencies, I can click Next, and it's going to go ahead and download this content. What's nice about this is I think it makes the individual pieces of content more discoverable. They're not just living in a monolithic, you know, very large offline right. installer. I can go in and use this tool to find exactly the resources that I want. And, you know, I can avoid those that don't make as much sense to me.
How will this work with updates? So, I mean, next training kit will come out in probably a couple months. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all sort of, they come out pretty quickly.
Yep.
Do I get to just fire this up and go grab everything that's new?
Yep.
Or...
Yeah, so...
Because that's, I think, historically been one of the tough things, too, is that it's a big installer, and you sort of have to just wipe the old one and install the new one every time a new one comes out, even though the delta is usually 10%, or it depends on
Well,
it
depends.
Change.
I mean, like, this last one, if you take a look at my blog post, I mean, we updated, you know, close to 200 projects, you know, to update to
I
a new version
of SDK. I hope that's not
10%
of the...
No, I think it's it's a lot.
Okay, so...
In this particular version, we actually this version of the web installer is only good for, I think, the next month, because essentially we're going to be delivering a newer version of it that will integrate and push down and let you know when there are updates available.
Oh, okay.
This version doesn't have it, and so basically we're expiring this version of the web installer in a month so that you can grab the next version, which will have the support to notify of you when there's updated content. And the way we do it is for each one of these labs, we do have a manifest associated with it. They're each versioned, and then the web installer will call it to a service and essentially ask for the content that I have installed, is there a new version? And if so, just grab the new version. So so this web installer will not do that for you, but in a month this will expire and you can grab the next version of it.
Before you care, before there's a new version or whatever, it will actually do that.
Yep.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so when I'm done, I can click Next. Here's everything that's been installed. I can just click here and you'll see here the labs and the presentations, everything I need to get started. So I think it's going to be a nice delivery mechanism, and we'll just keep advancing. I think what the best part of this is it allows us to make the individual content that's part of the training kits more discoverable and available to people without having to, you know, download some huge thing and then figure out what's there. So we're excited about it. So hopefully everyone else gives it a try and finds it useful. So
great.
Sounds good. Excellent.
So we will not do a show next week. We foreshadowed this
as well.
Although it's sort of an accident. But we're going to be... Wade and I, at least, and a bunch of other people who you know and have heard of, are going to the Future of Web Apps conference in London, which is happening next week.
Well, actually, I'll be there a little bit earlier, so I'm going to be speaking at a BizSpark.
That's true.
Event. So I think with focused on startups. So some of you may be at the BizSpark event this Friday in London, and I'll look forward to seeing you there. But then next week is
Future Web Apps, where we've got there's some talks happening and some booth demos and some cool.
Well, you're doing a keynote, right?
I am
so you've got a keynote talk where you're going to show some really cool stuff.
Yep.
I believe I have a university session. Is that what it's called? Something like that. Yeah. So I've got a short little session where I'm going to talk about some of the device toolkit stuff, and I'll focus mostly on iOS and Android. And then we've got a demo, a booth presence.
Yeah, we've got sort of nice, cool stuff at the booth. So, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be at Future of Web Apps, be sure to come by and check out some of the demos that we have. Those are going to be neat.
And then following that, actually, we're going to Dublin.
Yeah.
So
for some
what are we doing there?
I don't know.
No, we're speaking. We're going to be talking.
I assume when I get there,
Windows Azure All Access conference, I think. Which what's fun is I think this conference was inspired by things.smarks.com.
That's the claim.
The claim.
For people who want to butter me up, that they said it was my webpage, things.smarks.com, that inspired it. I don't know how true that is, but we are talking about a lot of stuff that sort of we're talking about.
We're going to talk a lot of things about a lot of things.
We're talking about things, and so clearly it was inspired by that app.
Actually, maybe this is where we're going.
So yeah, that looks about right. I think that's actually the building where we'll be. We'll be there. So. So good. So we won't have a Cloud Cover show next week, or we might. We actually
we'll find.
Wade
we'll
and I won't be there for a Cloud Cover show next week. Who knows what we might?
Who knows?
We might cook
up. We shouldn't say no definitively.
Yeah. Forget I said that. But Wade and I will be in London and Dublin and whatever, and then we'll be back the week after that. Yep. So we'll probably have a regular show after.
Excellent.
After that.
All right. So if you have any comments, any thoughts, ideas, you can contact us on Twitter at Cloud Cover Show. And Michael, you're also on Twitter as well.
I am. Mwasham MS. Mwashamms. Come along.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to put
we'll put that in the show links. Yeah. So you can follow Michael on Twitter as well. And thanks for joining us. And
yeah, that was great. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. And thank you very much.